Tonight, if you got your Bibles there, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Tonight, just going to take a few moments and talk about just a couple of biblical principles that sometimes we just need to be reminded of. A couple of biblical principles that we often overlook. Maybe we take for granted, but are very important within our lives and certainly very important for God's use of us. So let's open in prayer and then let's just jump into perhaps a little bit of a Bible study tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, just grateful that we can, Father, come before you. Father, that we have the freedom to speak directly to you, that unlike in the Old Testament where there had to be a priest, there had to be some sort of an intermediary, Father, we can come directly to you. And Father, I'm so grateful that it doesn't matter what my cares are, what my burdens are, what the hurt is, what the different things are that are going on in my life, whether it's sin, whatever it is, Father, that I can always come directly to you, and Father, you hear me. You desire to be involved in those various aspects of my life. Father, I pray that we wouldn't take that for granted. And Father, we would desire to draw closer to you, and Father, to seek you first in our lives. Father, now as we study your word, just for the next few minutes, I pray that you would use this tonight to bring glory to yourself and to grow us, to mature us. Father, to turn us into people that can better live lives that reflect you. Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. Use me tonight as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about availability and readiness. Availability and readiness. And you've probably heard through your life, particularly if you've been in Christian circles, you've heard sayings like God is not looking for the qualified, he qualifies those that are available, right? We've heard things like that, and there's truth to that, but I think we can perhaps take it a little bit too far sometimes. We understand what's being said there. We understand that God doesn't expect perfection. He doesn't expect qualifications necessarily for us to serve. He calls ordinary people and he equips ordinary people, right? We see that throughout Scripture. We see that in the life of David. Right? Here's a shepherd that God took and God used and God equipped to do great things for his nation. We see that with Moses. You know, here's a man who in his own saying he could hardly speak. But God ended up using him to do amazing things with the nation of Israel. We see that with Esther and Mordecai. We see that with Joseph. And we could continue to walk our way through the Bible and we could see all of these people that God used that didn't have qualifications by a worldly standard, that weren't necessarily designed for that role in our eyes, but yes, designed in God's eyes. If we jump into Isaiah 6, verse 8, we get to see a little bit there. And don't turn, I'll just read some of this. You know the story here. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Right? There's that availability there, and that's important for us. If we were to jump into 1 Corinthians, we see a whole lot of things there, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble men are called, right? Available people are called, are used by God. If we were to jump into 2 Timothy, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, the power maybe of God and not of us, right? There's failures in us. There's frailty in us. There's imperfection in us, but God can still use us. I think we all resonate with those sayings that God qualifies those that are willing to do it. He doesn't necessarily require us to be qualified to get to the point where he can use us. So let me ask you a question. Does that negate the fact? Does that remove the fact that we need to be more than just available? Is just being available all that God is calling us to be? Is just being available all that God wants from you? Or does he require of us to be doing some other things? Does that remove the obligation for us to be preparing ourselves, to be ready? I think sometimes we get this mindset that, hey, I want to be used by God and I'm available, but I'm just going to continue to live my life as I've always lived it, and God will fit into that picture and God will pull me out of that when he's good and ready to do it, but I'm just going to do my thing until that time, right? I think we kind of sometimes get that mentality, that until he's made it clear, I'm just going to just keep doing me. But I don't think that's how God expects us to live. In fact, I'm pretty certain as we look at Scripture tonight, we're going to see that that isn't how God expects us to live. We are meant to be making progress. We are meant to be doing things. We are meant to be applying things. And that availability changes as we progress through our Christian walk. How I was when I was newly saved and how available I was at that point should be very different to now as a 25-year-old, how available I am now, right? Andrew, stop laughing at me just because you're older than me, right? But there should be a change in what happens across that time period, right? I got saved when I was 5. God being able to use me at that point should be different to how God can use me now at this point in my life. So what occurs in that time period? Let's look at Scripture. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look down there at verse 15. And you know these verses already. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's a whole bunch of them up the back there. It says there, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Now, we often have a look at that verse and we see the center portion of that, right? Be ready to answer when someone sees that I've got hope. I need to be available to respond to that, right? But I want to look at this whole verse. Let's look at this together. Let's pull this apart. He starts off with there, but sanctify. Right? But sanctify. What does it mean to sanctify? Right? It means to hallow, to render sacred, to elevate something above everything else. So within my heart, there is something that I am meant to be elevating higher than anything else in my life. In order for me to do the things that he says later on in this, that's the start point that I've got to be at. But sanctify. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? You know this, with all thy what? Heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's me sanctifying God. That's me putting God above everything else. I love God with my heart. I love God with my mind. I love God with my soul. I love God with every aspect of my being. So where does that occur? It occurs in our hearts. Our hearts in this context, you know, it's not your physical heart, right? The only thing that's in our physical heart is a bit of blood and some tissue and some other things. And maybe if you're in Jules' case, a pacemaker or something like that, right? But mostly what's in our... I don't want to get you too excited, Jules. It's okay, right? Right? But mostly that's it. So when he says in your hearts, what does he mean? If I'm sanctifying God, if I'm elevating God in somewhere within me, and he says in your hearts here, what's he talking about? He's talking about at our very core, at the center of our spiritual being, the very seat of our thoughts, the very seat, the very point of our affection, the very point of our appetites and our desires. It's that place where everything starts. Right? In our feeble minds, it's already started somewhere else. Right? By the time I've got to the thinking part, there's already a huge amount of other things that have gone on that I didn't even realize. Right? What he's saying here is make God most important, put God at the forefront of everything, value God so much that every decision, that every desire, that every affection is influenced by him. I don't even have to think about it. All right, I love God so much. God is so important to me. I've elevated God, I've sanctified God so much in my life that it's not a matter of me thinking, what would God do in this situation? Or how would God have me act here? It just happens. Because I love God and I want to please God and I've elevated him. Now when I make a decision, I do it with that mindset already. It's not just an outward appearance. It's at my core. This isn't just a mental exercise. It's at my very core. I think the way that I think because I love God. I act the way that I act because I love God more than anything. I treat you the way that I treat you because I love God so much that it influences the way that I treat you. I don't even have to think about how I should treat you because I love God so much. Think about infusion, right? When something is infused, right? Tea, right? I happen to have a tea bag here, hey? Right? So if I open up, this is Australian afternoon smooth and robust full strength pure black tea, right? So if I open this up and we want to get that smooth, robust Australian flavor, could you just chew on that for a bit for me? You're American. You need to experience Australia through this tea bag. Right? Right? Go ahead. Somebody tell me, what does it taste like? Right?
You're allergic to tea.
He says he's allergic to tea. Is that true? It could be. Yeah, right. Right? No, I'm not going to just chew on this tea bag, am I? I mean, maybe you could. Maybe you get some health benefits out of that. I don't know. What am I going to do with this, right? I happen to have found a cup of hot water back here as well, right? So if I take this tea bag and I put it in the water, the longer the tea bag sits in the hot water, the more it infuses, the more that tea bag changes the flavor of this water, right? The water isn't... This water might, because it's Brisbane water. No, there we go. Whew, it's getting a bit nervous there, right? But the longer it's in there, the more that water changes flavor, right? The more time I spend drawing close to God, the more time I spend soaking in God's word, the more time I spend sanctifying God in my heart, elevating Him higher than anything else, the more the flavor of my life changes, right? And that influences everything else. It influences how I treat you. It influences how I see myself as a child of God. It influences every aspect of my life. Sanctify God in your heart. Being a believer, that's not about getting more of God. That's about God getting more of you. Right? You understand that? Being a Christian isn't me getting little bits of pieces of God and hoping I can just get enough pieces to make sense of who God is. And then once I get enough pieces and I make sense of who God is, I can see how that applies to my life and I might be able to figure out God's will for my life. No, it's not about me getting more of God. It's about God getting more of me. It's about me surrendering my will, my desires, my life, and going, God, I want to give all of this to you, and you take it. You have it. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's me making God central to everything, at my very core. And then look at the next three words there. And be ready. So first I sanctify God in my heart. I make God central to every decision that I make. And be ready. Think about sports for a moment. There's a lot of people who love sport. Danny doesn't like sports so much. But there's a lot of people that do like sports. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of armchair coaches, armchair referees, and most of them live in our church. I don't know how that happened, but when it comes time to State of Origin, all of them seem to live within our church, right? And if someone were to show up, so if Wayne Bennett were to show up and he were to say to you, hey, do you want to come and play for whatever team it is he's playing, that he's coaching that month, right? And he were to say, hey, you want to come and play for us? You'd be like, well, most people, right? Andrew probably wouldn't, but most people would be like, yeah, sure. I'm available, right? I can drop out of school. I can stop working. I can go and play with Wayne Bennett. But are you ready? Right? You might be available, but are you ready? Have you put in the time? Have you put in the legwork? Have you put in the mental work? Have you done the things that you need to do to be ready? Scripture talks about that. Here we see it in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Men, are you ready? Are you ready or are you just available? Are you readying yourself? I was ready 6 months ago, but I kind of fell off the wagon, right? I was ready when I was a teenager. I was so on fire, right? Are you readying yourself? Are you ready for what God may desire you to do tomorrow? Are you ready for what God may call you to do for the rest of your life? You're more than just available. Are you readying yourself? What do I mean by that? Let's explore this a little bit more. Have a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We've been in 1 Peter. Jump across to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And he starts off this passage, and it's an amazing start to a letter. The people that received this, it must have been so encouraging. He starts off there, after he's gotten through his introduction, in verse 3, he goes, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, God has given you as a believer everything that you need to live a life that glorifies God, to live a life that's godly, to live a life that represents how God sees you. Remember, God sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. Ephesians, you are holy, you are blameless. That's how God sees you. 2 Peter, and I've given you everything to live like God sees you. Right? Conditionally, or positionally, that's how we sit before God. But look at the next verse there. Verse 5, and beside this, beside the fact that I've given you everything to live a life that's holy and that's right before God. Beside this, here's how you do it. Give all diligence, add to your faith. Pay attention to this. Give everything you've got to this. Do it with all your might. This can't be half-hearted. This can't be something I just do on a Sunday when I go to church. It just can't be just I manage to pick up my Bible and do my devotions. This is my life is committed to living in a manner that glorifies God. There's work that we must be doing. It's not about saying that we're available or even looking available or even within our heart going, God, I surrender. I want to do whatever it is that you want to do. But in the meantime, I'm just going to live however it is that my life happens to go. No, no, this is a deliberate preparedness. God, I want to serve you. I want to surrender. I want to give everything to you. And I'm going to do what it takes to get to that point. Peter says, be diligent to add to your faith. Paul uses the same language when he's writing to young Timothy. Have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm glad I have this tea. My throat's a bit scratchy. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He starts off with a word there. He says, study. Study. Right? The word there is more than what we think of when we think of study. Right? We think of study as picking up a whole bunch of textbooks and trying to pass a math quiz, right? I always fail those, right? It means more than that. In fact, the word that Peter uses in 2 Peter and this word that Paul uses here in 2 Timothy, study, are the same. Peter says, give all diligence. It's the same Greek word or from the same root as what we see with study. There's a deliberateness in this. There's a zealousness in this. I want to know God so well that it impacts my life. I want it to permeate every aspect of me. I want it to be like this tea bag now that's infused in this water. I want to look like tea, not just like water. I want to look like God wants what God wants me to look like. So give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly cutting the word of truth. Are approved unto God. Ephesians 1 talks about the fact that we are approved by God, right? Because God sees us as in Christ. He sees us through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're approved because of what Christ did. This isn't about winning God's approval or earning God's approval by studying my Bible extra and so God's approved. No, no, no. This is about it impacting my whole life and then a demonstration of God's approval of me. Right? As I draw closer to God and God impacts my whole life, He permeates every aspect of my life, the rest of the world sees that God approves of me. Because my life changes. Because I live how God would have me live. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Right? That's what he's talking about. In my life, I present it back to God, and it's holy and it's acceptable to God, and everybody else sees it. Which is your reasonable service? Right? So we think of reasonable, right? You know, that's a reasonably good set of shoes you've got there, Danny. They're reasonable. Right? You might have a reasonably good car. Right? That's not what he's talking about here. Reasonable as in reasoning with your brain. As I think about what Jesus did for me, as I think about how undeserving I am of what Jesus did for me, as I think about what God did for me, as he sees me as holy and acceptable, as I think about that, there's nothing in my mind that goes, this isn't how I should be living. As I reason that out, I go, wow, this is how I should live. I should live a life that glorifies God. And as I do that, the rest of the world sees me. Second Timothy 4:2. Preach or literally proclaim the word. Be instant, which means be ready. Let me ask you again, are you ready? Not just are you available, are you ready? Are you soaked so much in Jesus? Are you soaked so much in God's word? Are you soaked so much in the character of God that it's impacting your life? And when others look at you, they go, man, that guy is a follower of God. Man, that lady loves God, and I can see it in her kids, and I can see it in her family. Is that us? Are you ready? Are you readying yourself for what it is that God wants to do with you? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that you have in you. Asketh you a reason of the hope. Do you live a life that points out that you have hope? Or has life got you down so much that when people look at you, they go, I don't want anything to do with that? Are you living a life that despite the hardship, despite the failures, despite your own sin, despite whatever is going on, people look at you and go, why is he, why is she hopeful? Because I love God. And because God permeates every aspect of my life and I have no choice, it is absolutely reasonable that I live like this. I think for many of us, we spend so much of our lives influenced by our circumstances, in the doldrums, wallowing in self-pity. And unfortunately, when people look at us, they don't go, that guy's got hope. They go, that guy is struggling. You know what? It's nothing wrong with people seeing that we're struggling, but they need to see that we're struggling with hope. Yeah, it's hard, but I've got hope. Yeah, it's difficult, but my hope is in Jesus. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Here's the last bit. with meekness and fear, with humility. Where does that come from? Because I sanctify the Lord God in my heart. Because I sanctify the Lord God in my heart, I am ready, and there is a hope that people can see, and I'm living pointing back at the fact that God is central to my life. That's why I have humility. Not because I've somehow managed to be humble, but because I recognize where I sit before God. Are you ready? Are you readying yourself? What does that look like? It means that more than just getting up and begrudging doing my devotions in the morning, it means that I'm studying God's Word. I want to get into God's Word. I want to pour into God's Word because I want it to impact my life. I'm spending time in prayer asking God for wisdom. God, show me how to deal with this situation. God, show me how to have a conversation. God, open the door for me to be able to speak into someone's life. God, give somebody for me to come alongside that I can mentor, that I can teach, that I can help, and so that they can pour into my life. God, bring people into my life that are going to point me to you. God, I don't want to live my life just hoping that one day you'll grab hold of me. God, I'm going to choose right now that I'm going to live my life in such a way that I am readying myself continually to get to that point where I can better glorify you. God, I'm more available today than I was back here. So where are you at? When did you get saved? And are you more ready now than what you were on that day? Have you been more consistent in God's Word and in prayer and in your relationships to the point of where it has grown you and matured you and shaped you? Are you ready? Are you readying yourself? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, I pray that you would stir in our hearts. Father, I fear that as a nation, as people, as Christians, Father, we've become complacent. Father, we've taken your word for granted. And Father, instead of readying ourselves, instead of preparing our own hearts, instead of being diligent, Father, we're just happy to show up to church on Sunday. Father, would you impact our hearts tonight? Would you impress on our hearts how much you desire to have a walk with us and to grow us and to mature us? Father, would you do that for us tonight? Father, would you bring about revival in this church? Father, that we would have a greater desire to honor you with our lives, that we'd have a greater desire to take your word and to teach other people outside of our church. Father, encourage us, strengthen us, give us boldness tonight. In your name, amen.